Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to continue and pick up right where we left off last week in the book of Luke. We're talking today about the shepherds, so Luke chapter 2 verses 8 through 20 is where we're going to be, but we're talking about peace this morning. And so I just thought we'd have a little bit of fun before we get started. A couple things I want to share with you and all of that, but before we do anything, before we go any further, I want you to think about what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word peace. So, on the count of three, we're just going to shout it out, okay? And some of you are like, I can't say what I just thought about because the person next to me will kick me out of here or something like that, or they'll be shocked or whatever. So it's okay. They've got their own stuff too, right? And you're probably going to be shocked about what they're going to say, and you're going to want to move seats. By the way, the whole front row is open now, so come on down. So, on the count of three, okay? Ready? Peace. One, two, three. Okay, I heard a lot of Jesuses. Proud of you. Okay? All right. That's awesome. All right. Cool. Well, so hopefully you know your neighbor a little bit better now. Don't judge them, okay? They're coming in here searching in the same search for peace that we all are in. All right, you ready to look at God's Word this morning? I was reminded of something that I love to say this past week, and I was sharing it with the team this morning, and it was this: God meets us at the level of our expectation. And so my prayer this morning is that you walked into the room expectant to hear something, receive something, to fuel you for the coming week, to fuel you for that conversation that you've got to have, to fuel you for whatever it is that you're facing from the Scripture, from God, for your week. God will meet you at the level of your expectation. And when you think about that, right, I want you to think about how am I expectant when I walk into the room? What do I expect out of a church service? What do I expect out of Sunday morning? Right? And some of you are like, Pastor Travis, I don't expect anything. I was made to come here. I get that. Okay, I get that. If you go in the Welcome Center after the service, there's a couple holy donuts for you. Take that as a consolation for having to be here this morning, okay? All right? And some of you are like, man, I just come so expectant, and kind of everywhere in between, right? What many of us fall into the trap with, and especially I feel like at Advent, right, is walking through the routine of Advent. Some of you being, how should I put this, more seasoned than others, right? Some of you being more seasoned than others, which, by the way, just so you know, I'm falling into that boat, okay? I was leaving the high school the other night after a game, and our varsity high school team is a little banged up right now, and I offered to the coach, I said, hey, coach, if you need somebody, I might have a year of eligibility in high school left, and he looked at me and said, you'd have to dye your hair. I don't like that coach anymore. Bless his heart. So for some of our more seasoned folks, right, you might approach Advent, right, and say, I've done this for years. I've talked about hope. I've talked about joy. I've talked about peace. I've talked about the love of Christ. I've talked about being expectant. And so we can come into Christmas season and church and Advent, and this thing that we do is just something that we do. It's a box that we check. It's emotions that we walk through, the candles and all the different people that come up and read the readings for Advent and light the candles. We think it's pretty, it's cute, but we miss the meaning because it's just become something else that we do in routine, and we're not expectant for anything, to receive anything as part of the process. And so one of the things that we're trying to do this year is get back to what are the core basics of Advent and why we do it as a church. Why we do it as a church. As our students read, this is a practice that has been in the church for over 1,500 years. Right? This isn't just because we like fire in church and we like to test things and test the durability of things and test the stableness of the stage to see if it's going to spill over or catch anything on fire, right? This is a tradition that means something because Jesus brings peace, think about this, between us and God. That's the main theme of the message that we're talking about today. Jesus brings peace between us and God. God's favor is not based on human standards. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That God's favor is not based on human standards. Peace is not based on a class or a position, but on God's purpose and design to bring good news that will cause great joy for, get this, all the people. Good news of great joy for all the people. Not certain classes of people, not certain types of people, not certain age groups of people, for all the people. There is a peace that is deep, that is real, that is healing, and that defies your circumstances. And Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten your peace. Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten your hope. And God shows up in your pain, in your fears, in your confusion, in your celebration, in your grief, in your loss, in your uncertainty, in the good times and the bad times. God is there bringing peace to calm your heart. Peace, again, that defies your circumstances. No matter how bad things are, no matter how bad things get, never give up hope. Never give up hope. I want you to think about the last time you were just hopeless. And it can be petty. I'll share with you the last time I was hopeless. You remember that Monday morning that it snowed? Most recently, a couple weeks ago, the stuff that we're still hanging out with right now, I was like, God, just take me now. And it's like a little small snowstorm. All the plow guys and all that, yes, bring it on. And I'm like, get it out. I don't want it anymore. This was fun for the first 10 years. I'm out, right? I'm out, right? No matter how bad things are, never give up hope. This is a season, this Advent season, it's a season of expectation and preparation. We're preparing, right? An opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence and, here it is, rediscover Christmas. During the Advent season, we are exploring the attributes of Jesus, looking at his birth and the whole Christmas season, hope, peace, joy, love. Then on Christmas Eve, we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, or the arrival of Jesus. And so today we continue with rediscovering the peace of Christmas. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus offers us peace no matter what we're going through. Jesus offers you peace no matter what you're going through. The question is whether or not you'll receive it. Jesus offers you peace no matter what you're going through. Are you going to look to receive the peace that Jesus offers this morning? Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, you may have heard this passage before, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. Now, I want you to think about for just a second. You remember last week we talked about Zechariah. Right? Zechariah, the angel appeared to Zechariah. And what happened? He was filled with fear. Right? There's a theme here. Right? The angel showed up filled with great fear. Fear these shepherds were. And the angel said to him, verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went. And they found, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. That word wonder is a word for worship. They worshiped at what had at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard, for all that they'd seen, as it had been told them. Now, again, before we dive into this, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, by waiting, by anticipation and longing. Remember, God will meet us at the level of our expectation. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate His birth, to be alert for His second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus' coming, while at the same time looking forward, hopeful, with eager anticipation to the coming of Jesus' kingdom when He returns for His people. So during Advent, we wait for both. It's an active, assured, and hopeful waiting. Each week, we're focused on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus: hope, peace, joy, love. And each of these traits leads us into a rediscovery of Christmas. Into a rediscovery of Christmas. I was sharing with the worship team this morning, and I think as we were praying, I was just reminded of how I feel like every year, right? Every year, you know, that passes, I think to myself, man, we need more peace than ever. I felt that last year. I felt that the year before that. I definitely felt that the year of 2020. I don't know if you remember that year. There were a couple things that happened, went down. Right, but here in 2023, I think of it more than ever. Right, Patriots fans don't know who to pull for. Right, we've been spoiled all of these years. Right, there's so many things that are just up in arms, turmoil, pace, all of these different things. We need peace more than ever. And when we think of peace embodied in the Christmas story, we can't help but think of the shepherds. I can't help but think of the shepherds hanging out in the field, tending to the flock, gazing at the stars, and all of a sudden, an angel appears to them. They're filled with great fear. Now, I want you to think about that moment, okay? I want you to think about that moment. The day is done. The work is done. Your feet are up. You're relaxed, right? You're walking through your nightly routine. And all of a sudden, you're asked to go to Hannaford. How does that make you feel? You are erupted, right? Your expectation has now been taken, and there's probably, if you're anything like me, a great fear for what's going to happen over the next 30 to 45 minutes, because you're probably going to get the wrong thing, right? But you were relaxed, and now there's something else to do, right? For these shepherds, the work of the day was done. The sheep were probably laying, nighttime, they're resting. Sheep probably, they're just keeping count. They're probably checking on them every now and then, what have you, right? But they're laying out in the field. And then out of nowhere, this angel shows up, announcing this birth of a baby, this birth of Jesus. They were, and think again about the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds were the unlikely recipients. I feel like we talk about that every year. Whenever you hear about the shepherds, they were the most unlikely people to receive God's message of peace. But aren't you thankful that almost every time that God moves, He moves through the unlikely person? The unlikely. Right? And so Luke's account of them is such a beautiful, almost poetic passage of Scripture. It's like God's birth announcement to the world. Suddenly, in the middle of a dark, ordinary night in the Bethlehem countryside, an angel appears in the sky and is joined them by a sky full of angels. Multitude of heavenly hosts, Scripture says. The New Living Translation calls them the armies of heaven. And it's hard to imagine just how magnificent and bright and, as the Scripture says, terrifying this sight must have been. And then there's the sound. These angels, these incredible angels, are praising God. They're probably singing and declaring glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to humanity. What language or languages were they speaking and singing? What kind of melody and harmony? I'm sure it was exactly like what we heard this morning, because it was so angelic up here, wasn't it? Right? How loud must it have been? Or could anyone else hear it? Right? So many questions fill our mind. Who was the audience for this announcement? Powerful kings, VIPs of the day? No, shepherds. Those completely ordinary, average, night shift working animal tenders who are the unlikely, unexpected recipients of this message of peace, wholeness, and God's favor. It's yet another scene in how God is flipping the script on what we would expect and do if it were up to us to save the world. But the whole experience leaves me asking this question. Why shepherds? Why shepherds? Maybe it's because the shepherds actually tie many, many biblical threads together. Get this. First, the shepherds remind us that the patriarchs of Israel were shepherds. The patriarchs of Israel were shepherds. They were nomadic animal tenders. They were roaming ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham was the original recipient of God's covenant that he would bless all nations of the world. And the promise was carried on through Abraham's ancestors, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. David, Israel's great king, was first a shepherd as well. And when we think about shepherds, they were everyday people. They were nothing special. They had no entitlement. They had no pride. They had no arrogance. There was no religious bloating. They fit right into this process of introducing God's Messiah, a humble carpenter and a peasant girl, as parents for the Son of God. A birth in a lowly stable surrounded by animals, rough and rugged shepherds out in the fields on the edge of the more refined civilization. These were the have-nots. Examples of God raising and using the humble and turning the world as we know it upside down. Those considered by society to be the most holy weren't given a place in the stable to kneel on holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. Secondly, these shepherds also signify Jesus' future ministry and teaching. Sheep might have been lowly animals, but they were special animals in Jewish culture. Right? The Passover lamb was the sacrifice of an ancient Jew would make during the most important holiday. Its blood was the atonement for a person's sins, the cost that had to be paid to restore a person with God. And each time it was done, this sacrifice was a reminder of the original Passover and God's rescue and exodus of his people from Egypt. You and I know that Jesus entered our world to fulfill his identity as the Lamb of God. As the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate and the only payment for our sins. His death did away with the need for these sacrificial lambs. His resurrection made it possible for us to be fully restored in our relationship with God. And his life made it possible to experience true peace. I'll never forget the first year I preached on peace at Advent, someone walked up to me and said, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus." The person that told me that is in this room, but they told me long ago they don't want credit, so you can just put my name right next to that in your notes, okay? Put my name right there. Jesus' life made it possible to experience true peace, shalom, in the Hebrew language and culture, the word and concept that encapsulate the completeness and wholeness of God's original creation, how He originally intended it to be. And it's probably partly for all of these reasons that God sent these angels to announce the birth of His Son, Jesus, to shepherds. It reminds us, it certainly reminds us that God's favor is not based on human standards. Aren't you thankful for that? It is not based on human standards. His favor is on all those who humbly acknowledge their brokenness and accept the gifts of hope, accept the gifts of peace, accept the gifts of joy and love that Jesus brings. Again, peace is not based on class or position, but on God's purpose and design to bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And I think the shepherds also lead us to several insights about our own connection with God's peace. So a couple of things I want to share with you. First is this. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. You remember when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat and it starts to storm. You remember where Jesus was? Sleeping. Isn't that awesome? How many of you can sleep through a storm? Praise God for you. I'm so thankful for you. Awesome. Awesome. Peace comes in the midst of our storms, and Jesus is back in the back of the boat sleeping. And the disciples are terrified. They're panicked, right? And so what do? They go and wake Jesus up, and they're like, Jesus, do you not care? Do you not know? There's a storm happening. And what's Jesus do? Stands up. Looks at the storm, what does he say? Somebody say it. Peace be still, right? Peace be still, right? That's what we're all going to say to the snow next time it happens, okay? Peace be still, stop. And all you plow guys are like, don't speak that, right? Don't speak that. Peace comes in the midst of the storm. Let me ask you, how is your Christmas season going? How many of you, like, you just can't believe it's December and you feel like we just did this last year and here we are again and you just haven't really gotten into that, right? Right? Okay, clearly you don't have an 8-year-old son. But anyway, Ezra has gotten all of us into the Christmas spirit, whether we like it or not, over the last couple of weeks, right? And so how's your Christmas season going? How does your Christmas season typically go? And if we're honest, if we had the time to really just unpack this and talk amongst ourselves, we might choose words like busy. Anybody's Christmas season busy? Right? I was talking with somebody yesterday and they were like, we should get together and we were talking about it, and they were like, yeah, after Christmas, right? After Christmas. That's where we are right now. Everything's after Christmas. After Christmas. We might use a word like hectic, frantic to describe our lives this time of year, or maybe all year round. Maybe it's an overloaded schedule that robs you of peace, or maybe it's something more like loneliness or feeling overwhelmed or tired, especially this time of year, relational conflict, pressure at work, a lost job, an illness, you name it. We have plenty of options to choose from, but does peace for you sound like it's a long way off? As you sit and think about peace, does it sound like a good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, something that we long for? And if this is where you find yourself today, let me encourage you with this. That Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and our hope and our joy. That He's there with us when love seems lost and the way forward is completely unclear. This is where God appears and Christ is born in Israel's dark night. I want you to think about something with these shepherds. They went with great haste to see Jesus be born. After the announcement of the angel, they went with great haste. I want you to think about this, okay? Those shepherds were hanging out in that field. They didn't even know that they needed what was coming their way. They didn't even know what was ahead of them. These angels showed up out of nowhere with God's birth announcement of his son Jesus. And they said, this is what's happening. And they went with great haste to do what? To see what was happening. They wanted to taste and see, right? They wanted to see what was happening. And then they went and shared with other people who worshiped with them, right? And so Jesus coming, God completely flips the script in their lives, and they didn't even know they needed it. And see, that's where I feel like many of us are now. We've numbed ourselves with so much life, with so much in our schedule, with so many things, with so many commitments, with so many yeses, that we don't even know that we need. We aren't even aware of the need in our lives for peace, because we can't even remember what that feels like. We can't even remember what that feels like. And I want you to know that Jesus comes in the midst of that and will give you peace at times, hear me, whether you want it or not. Whether you recognize the need for it or not. Whether you're aware. Whether you're aware of it or not. Peace comes in the midst of storms when we least expect it. And so if peace sounds like a long way off, I want you to know Jesus shows up when peace is under threat. He's there with us. And this is where God appears and Christ is born in Israel's dark night. This is where the angels show up in the middle of Roman oppression and centuries of suffering and wondering, where is God? We talked about the gap last week of 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, and how this story of Jesus and the announcement and Zechariah and all of these things that we're talking about get brought up. It was after centuries of suffering and wondering, where is God, in the middle of a world turned upside down for a young Jewish couple who have found themselves at the center of these events, while at the same time trying to navigate the normal life realities of paying their dues by traveling by foot across the country to be counted by the government and having to experience childbirth for the first time, and in a crazy childbirth at that, born of a virgin, right? Navigate first time far from home without the support and care of those who would have guided Mary through this painful process. And then being first-time parents, not only with the joys and wonder and fear of responsibility of having their first son, but then having these random, no doubt dirty and smelly shepherds show up because of these angels that appeared to them. And Mary's like, hey, tummy time. Right? And in all of these circumstances, in all of these struggles, this is where God showed up. This is where God showed up. In the midst of all of that, this is where God showed up. And this is where God continues to show up for us. In our pain, in our fears, in our confusion, in our grief, in our loss, in our uncertainty, in our wins, in our celebrations, in the things that go really, really well. And I don't know what hardship you're facing today, or what victory you're celebrating today, or every wince of pain that you're feeling today, or every doubt that you're dealing with today, but the reality is, and the truth is, that I hang on to week after week after week, day after day after day, moment by moment by moment with my stuff, is that God does know. He's there, bringing peace to calm our hearts, peace that defies our circumstances. Which is number two. Not only does peace come in the midst of our storms, but peace defies our circumstances. That sounds nice, doesn't it? That's a really nice thing to think of at Christmas, you might be thinking. That this peace defies our circumstances. That should be on a coffee mug. Right? And so you may be sitting there thinking, well, Travis, you don't know how bad things are. You don't know how fearful I am of the next couple of weeks and all the family that I've got to come to terms with or have to be in a room with. Or you don't know. You don't know. This is the first Christmas without this loved one. So you don't know the fear that I'm dealing with approaching this. I can only imagine for you. And I can only agree with how unfair at times life can be. But let me encourage you with this. There's a peace that's deeper than your circumstances. It defies your circumstances. In the face of all that you're feeling, in the face of that marriage turmoil, in the face that all of you've gone through, God's peace just doesn't make sense. But it's real. It's real. It's a choice. I was sharing this the other night in base camp. And I've told this story often. But back in 2006, January of 2006, I took a class at Liberty University in 1 week, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It was 1 week class, 1 week intensive, they called it. And the title of the class was this, Survey of the Old Testament. Whew. I want you to imagine that. On Monday, we did the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. One day, five books of the Pentateuch, one day. It was crazy. And so while I was down having fun with that, okay, it's a type of fun, right? While I was down doing that, Kristen was in Maine planning our wedding because we got married in Westbrook. And so periodically, when we would have breaks, I would go out into the hallway and call Kristen and see how wedding plans were going, right? And also talk to her. And I walked back into class one day. It was a lunch break. I walked back into class one day, and the professor sitting behind the desk. I don't remember his name. I wish I did. But the professor sitting behind the desk. He said. So, you're getting married. I said, yes, sir, May 27th, can't wait. We're getting married. Getting married. Love my life, all that. All those things. Is she tall like you? Nope, she's 5 foot nothing. All right, but it's great. It's great. All those things. And he said, he sat back in his chair, chewing on his tuna sandwich. Smelled terrible. And you had to spend all day in the room with that guy. And he just made that, anyway, bless his heart. But he asked me a question. He said, Travis, what are you going to do the morning that you wake up and don't feel like loving Kristen? What's going to happen? How are you going to respond? Now, me, being the guy that I am, awesome, great, full of humility, right? I'm the most humble guy you'll ever meet. I look back at this professor and was like, you don't know what you're talking about, old timer. Like, that doesn't happen. That is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And he kind of smirked and took another bite of his smelly tuna fish sandwich. We'll never forget it. It was nasty. And he did it every day, all 5 days of the class. And it was like Old Testament paired with tuna fish. Just a great combination, right? And he sat back and he said, oh no, one day you will wake up and you will not feel like loving your wife, but you will have to make the conscious decision to choose to love your wife. Now that hasn't happened yet. Okay? That hasn't happened yet, right? But every time I think about peace, that's exactly what I think about. There's a song that I love to sing and worship to kind of in my own prayer time. And one of the lyrics in the song is this, I've still got joy in chaos. You know the only time you can choose to have joy and peace in chaos is when you choose it. That is the only way possible. That is the only way possible in the midst of the biggest storm, in the midst of the biggest fight, in the midst of the biggest financial whatever that you've got, in the midst of everything, right? In the midst of everything, the only way to have peace, the only way to have joy, the only way to have hope, the only way to have love in that moment is to choose it, is to be driving on 495 in Massachusetts and feel the rage that you're feeling and say, I'm choosing peace in this moment, because if I don't, I'm scared of what might happen. Right? It's a choice. And so family, in the same way, right, that we make a choice to pursue certain things, we've got to make a choice in this moment to pursue the peace that defiles our circumstances, that doesn't make sense from the outside looking in. All of these things are happening in your life right now. You've got all of these commitments. You've got all of these things, right? And you can choose to be really derailed by them, or you can say, hey, there's 7 days a week. There's 24 hours in a day. The things that are going to happen are going to happen. The things that aren't going to happen aren't going to happen. I can only control what I can control. And the rest of it, I choose peace. The rest of it, I choose peace. I choose peace. I can't change someone else's stupid. I've got to choose peace. I'm no longer talking about Kristen in that, by the way. I should clarify. We've moved on from that illustration. We've moved on from that story, okay? Right? More talking about the 495 drivers, okay? I can't fix someone else's, right? But I can choose peace. I can choose peace when it doesn't make sense. I can choose peace in the midst of the storm, and I can choose peace that defies the circumstances. And number three, the biggest thing I want to tell you, and some of you are going to be like, well, duh. Peace is a person. And his name is Jesus. It all comes back to a person. See, I don't pretend to fully understand it. Hear me. I don't pretend to fully understand it, but there is power in prayer and a transformation that grows from gratitude and making the choice that I'm going to choose Jesus, I'm going to choose peace in the midst of these circumstances, in the midst of the storm that defies the circumstances. Paul tells the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace. And long before his arrival on earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isn't that comforting? Of the greatness and the peace of his government, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Most of all, this son that is given, this child that is born, brings the power and rule of his peace into our personal lives. And he is the bringer of peace. You like that grammar? He is the bringer of peace between us and God, the sacrificial lamb, the giver of life. He is the embodiment of shalom, of wholeness that we find in relationship with him. Jesus is the God who's come to be with us and offers us this invitation in this Advent season, and always, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, or all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Family, let those words wash over you today. Let those words wash over you. Come to me. This is the invitation of Jesus. All who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In this second week of Advent, let me encourage you. Look for the Prince of Peace. Look for the Prince of Peace. Look for the Prince of Peace. Don't get frustrated at everything that somebody says to you this week. Assume positive intent in every conversation. Do it. Choose peace. Say, I'm not going to let that get me down. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to eat another Oreo. You got to have strategies, right? And I'm going with it. I'm choosing peace in this moment. I'm choosing peace in this moment. Look for the Prince of Peace. Even when the winds blow tomorrow morning, because the winds are coming. Who knew you would get such a weather report at church on Sunday morning? Right? When the winds blow, the storms come. Let me encourage us all to come to Him and worship like the shepherds. Worship like the shepherds. Even when we find ourselves in the darkness, the uncertainty, the storms, let me remind us to come to Him because He's here. Jesus, Prince of Peace, is with us. And may Jesus be your peace this week, guarding your soul with peace. Filling your spirit with the wholeness of shalom and ruling as Prince of Peace in your heart. Worship team is going to come. And as they do, I want to pray a special blessing over you. I want to read it and talk about it. And then I want to pray this over you. It comes from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he's really shutting down the letter, his second letter to the church at Thessalonica. It's one of the last things he says to them. And I love it. Paul says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment while these guys are coming. May the Lord himself, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. I believe that one of the biggest turmoils for us comes when we look for peace from people that can't hold up under the weight of our worship. I'm your pastor. It's one of the greatest honors of my life to be so. I am not the giver of peace in your life. If you come to church on Sunday morning and you're like, well, I just, eh. I thank God every day that I am not responsible for giving you peace. I'm responsible for presenting the Word of God to you. In the same way, on the Sundays when I walk out of here and no one comes up and is like, man, Travis, thank you for that. That was awesome, which rarely happens, right? I can't get into my car and say, my people don't love me. Because I can't look to you for my peace. You can't look to the person next to you across the aisle from you, right? They can point you to peace. Jesus, and I pray they do. I pray I do that. I pray you do that for me. You do, right? We can point each other to peace, but we're not each other's peace. May the Lord himself, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way is my prayer for you this morning. I'm going to begin praying for you by praying that right there. So, dear God, as we come to you at the end of this time, I pray that you yourself, as peace, would give us peace at all times, in every way. And this week, may we choose to make your voice the loudest. May we choose to hear the truth of your word and the truth of your peace above everything. May it dictate our pace today. May it dictate our responses tomorrow. May it dictate the people that we engage with. And God, may we be like those shepherds who were so overjoyed at what they saw that they went and shared it with everyone. God, what a time of year where you're already part of things. You're on the radio. You're in conversation. May we point people to true peace that's only found in your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.